There is a purpose. There is a truth. There is a knowledge of God awaiting you. There's a purpose, a wisdom, a truth, a knowledge contained in the word of sacred scripture, contained in this church, in the sacraments of this church, bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, free for you. And when you receive it, you will be changed. Have you been changed? Is your life different from this world of death that we live in? Do you stand out? Jesus is getting ready to start his public ministry. He's going to start his public ministry, and no sooner has he embarked on this mission to the world is he driven by the Spirit out into the desert to be tested. He's driven out into the desert to be tested. 40 days. 40 days in the desert. Testing. Fasting. Temptations. Now, have you ever heard of this idea? This idea that everything in the New Testament has something in the Old Testament that's kind of leading toward it? Okay. Everything in the New Testament fulfills, everything significant in the New Testament is fulfilling something from the Old Testament. 40 days in the desert being tested. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? They faced a temptation, they faced a trial. Did they pass or did they fail? They failed. The people, the nation of Israel, is rescued from slavery in Egypt, brought into the desert and tested. Did they pass or did they fail? They failed. And now Jesus comes. And it says, the scripture says that he is like driven into the desert, like dragged into the desert for this time of trial and temptation. And these 40 days, the 40 days of fasting, the fasting was not his temptation. The fasting was his strength. And you got to think about this. The fasting was his strength, his connection to the Father, and the angels ministered to him. So where Adam and Eve failed, where the nation of Israel failed, Jesus is tested 40 days in the desert and he passes. Now, everything in the Old Testament is looking forward to something in the New Testament. I want to ask you a question about what is the number one subject that Jesus talks about during his public ministry. When Jesus is ministering, he has one subject that he speaks about more than he speaks about any other subject. Now you can think, is it sin? Is it love? Is it forgiveness? Is it mercy? Is it the Father? What is it? What do you think it is? Now, I've set you up with that question. I'm going to read the gospel, and it's in the gospel today. Okay, see if you can pick it out. Part of the gospel, anyway. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the kingdom. When he teaches us to pray, what does he teach us to pray for? The kingdom come. When he talks about all these parables, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, Jesus comes to establish a new kingdom because there is a kingdom reigning on earth. There's a kingdom reigning on earth, and it is the kingdom of death. Now, how do I know the kingdom of death reigns on earth? Well, I know for one reason, because St. Paul tells us. Death reigned. Death reigned on earth until the coming of Christ. Death reigned. And when someone reigns, who reigns? A king reigns, right? A king has his kingdom that he reigns over. And so the kingdom of death and his obedience is sin, and his wages are what? Death. And so this kingdom is on the earth. And Jesus has this on his mind, that he comes to establish a new kingdom. And he wants you to be part of that kingdom. He wants me to be part of that kingdom. See, Adam and Eve lost the grace. They lost the life of God in them. And what they passed on to us was what they had. They passed on death. How do I know that the kingdom of death still reigns? How do I know that? I read the newspaper. I recognize this, that for me to live, for you to live, for us to be sustained, something has to die. You know, the cucumber that you're going to eat on your salad, it's not alive anymore. The cow that's in your hamburger, nope. See, for us to live, there's death. Now, Jesus comes to establish a new kingdom, a kingdom of life, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of the Spirit. And what is the food in the kingdom of life? How about the bread of life? The bread of life, Christ Himself. So Jesus comes to establish this kingdom. A covenant. You see, how do we become members of a family? We become members of a family by birth, or we become members of a family by covenant. And Christ comes to establish us in this new kingdom family. In the Old Testament reading today, we heard about Noah and the ark, the building of the ark, and the flood. And the flood is pointing forward to something in the New Testament. And St. Peter tells us about something in the New Testament. And I'm going to read part of St. Peter's letter to you again. Christ suffered for sin once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Christ suffered for sins, put to death. Christ subjected himself to the kingdom of death in your place, that he would establish a kingdom of life. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. He overcame death by his resurrection, and he comes to establish a new kingdom in his blood. So put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison who had once been disobedient. What does that mean? Where did Christ go to preach to the spirits in prison? All the people that died before Christ established his kingdom, they were waiting for him to come. And he came and he went and he preached to them. He preached the gospel of the new kingdom, the kingdom of life, not the kingdom of death. They were in the place of death. And he comes to establish and draw them into a new kingdom. And he comes to draw us into the kingdom of life as well. In it, he went to preach to the spirits in prison who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. Reading it right out of the reading from this week. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. So what did the flood in the Old Testament prefigure? But the flood of waters, of the new waters of life in baptism that Christ comes to give us. Now, Jesus begins his public ministry by 40 days in the desert. 40 days in the desert. Nowadays, today, most people are baptized as little babies, right? Most of you all were baptized as a baby. Some of you were baptized as children. Some of you were baptized as adults. In the Catholic Church today, and going all the way back to her very earliest days, when an adult would be baptized, the church would ask that they spend a certain period of time in special preparation and prayer. How long do you think that time of special preparation and prayer was? 40 days, right? And when did we baptize adults in the church? On Easter. So 40 days before Easter, we have this special time of prayer and preparation. And where did we get this idea of a special time of prayer and preparation before we begin our public life as Christians? Where did we get that idea from? From Jesus' 40 days in the desert. And you say to yourself, well, Father Mike, I've already been baptized. Why do I have to observe Lent? It's good practice, okay? And you should be praying for those people who are preparing for their baptism. See, we're a community of faith. We're a kingdom. We're all children of the same Father, adopted into the same family. And our task is to pray. At 10:30 Mass today, we had all the people preparing to enter the Catholic Church stand up. And those to be baptized came forward. It's a beautiful little ceremony and interrupted Mass a bit, but it was nice. And then on the Easter Vigil, they're going to come up here and we're going to have a fountain set up and we're going to baptize all the adults. And then I'm going to ask you all to recite your baptismal promises, and then I'm going to walk through the church and sprinkle you all with holy water as you remember your baptism. Now, my brothers and sisters, we observe this time of Lent, this 40 days in anticipation of the Easter Vigil. We unite ourselves to Christ in his temptation. And you know, our fasting shouldn't be simply our temptation. Our fasting should be our strength. Because when we fast and we deny ourselves, God fills us. When we become weak for the sake of God, God becomes our strength. And so God draws us to himself, invites us to his kingdom, reunites us in, or I should say, reinvigorates us in his kingdom. This time of preparation, you see, the thing about it is the devil lost all these citizens for his kingdom, and he wants them back. He wants them back. He wants us to fall into sin. He wants us to fall into lukewarmness. He wants us to fall into neglect. He wants the thorns and the thistles of temptation to come and choke out the life of the Spirit in us. Not that we shouldn't do this all the time. We should do this all the time. But we should be on guard against that. We should prepare ourselves. We should strive and struggle to grow in holiness day by day, week by week, month by month. But every now and then, once a year, in fact, the church asks us to do something special. Maybe put dirt and ashes on our head and walk around for a day and remember our death and set aside 40 days for prayer and fasting and the renewal of our baptism. What do you think? A good idea? I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. And so we begin our Lenten journey to the Paschal feast of Jesus' death and resurrection that we celebrate during Holy Week and Easter, and we prepare ourselves to be renewed in our baptism, to be renewed in our life in Christ, to reaffirm our citizenship with Christ. Not that we should only do this once a year, we should do this all the time, but this is a special season of particular emphasis. And so I say to you, my brothers and sisters, there is a purpose, and there is a truth, and there is a knowledge of God that awaits you. There is a truth contained in the words of sacred scripture and the teachings of this church and her sacraments that has been bought and paid for you to receive. And when you receive it, you'll be changed. Have you been changed? God has another change for you. A good change. A deepening of your faith. A renewal of God in your spirit. In the kingdom of light and light. So make this a good Lent. Dedicate yourself and let your fasting be your strength against the temptations of the world.